Truly effective individuals recognize their own perceptual limitations and learn how to benefit from diversity. Synergistic outcomes in families and organizations frequently result from valuing differences and seeking third alternatives, as Stephen explains in Habit 6, entitled Synergize.
Habit 6, Synergize, in a sense, is the fruit of the spirit of Habit 4, Think Win-Win, and the spirit of Habit 5, Seek First to Understand, Then to Be Understood. See, when 4 and 5 are in place, what happens is a very unique and powerful thing. People are beginning to interact together genuinely. They're open to each other's influence, and new insights emerge. A new dynamic is born. Something happens to them both, and it happens between them. It creates the possibility of third alternatives. It's not an either-or approach. It's not win-lose or lose-win, and it's not a compromise. Compromise is where 1 plus 1 equals 1.5. But synergy is where 1 plus 1 equals 3, 4, 10, 50. There's also a negative form of synergy where 1 plus 1 equals, say, 1/2. In other words, so much of the effort and energy is spent in adversarialism, in conflict, in defensive and protective communication, that it literally wastes the energy of the people, of the enterprise, of the marriage, of the family. And you end up with less than what one person could do, himself or herself. Anyone who has experienced sustained conflict and contention, they know what little productivity comes out. So just remember these definitions. Synergy is where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. In other words, it's the part between the parts that is the key part. Synergy means you can literally produce something that neither of you could have produced before, or even adding what each can produce separately. It's like having two ears. They're connected with the brain, and you end up where you can sense direction, where if you had two ears unconnected, you'd have no sense of direction. 1 plus 1 literally equals 3 or more. Now, if you have 1 plus 1 equaling 2, that's not synergy. That might be transaction. You go in and you buy gas and you give money. You transact it. That's not synergistic. You may have cooperated. That's not synergistic. Synergy is creative cooperation, where 1 plus 1 equals 3, 4, or 10. Negative synergy, as I mentioned, is where there is enough internal contention and adversarialism that it produces less than even what one person can produce on their own, because so much of the energy is wasted going in the wrong direction. In other words, it's counterproductive. Now, the traditional paradigm of interaction, particularly when there are differences and disagreements, is to go for compromise. That's literally where most people think we end up realistically. We go for compromise. This would be where 1 plus 1 equals 1.5. And most people think that that's where we should go. That's what synergy means. Not so. That's realistic, however, if you're in a low-trust culture. But if you can cultivate the emotional bank account and the trust goes up, you don't need to go for compromise. If you'll pay the price with Habits 4, 5, and 6, you'll come up with this dynamic new quality in life and in relationships called synergy. That really is the summum bonum of all of these other habits. I've enjoyed immensely the work of Professors Fisher and Urey as they talk about two people fighting about a window. One wants the window open and the other wants it closed. One keeps opening it, the other keeps closing it. It eventually becomes an ego battle between them. He opens it, walks out of the room, and the other person closes it. Then the person comes back and opens it again. It appears that there are only two positions, opened or closed. Does that seem that way to you? Or perhaps maybe a compromised position, open half the time, or perhaps open half the way. But remember, synergy is not compromise. Compromise is when 1 plus 1 equals 1.5. Synergy means that 1 plus 1 equals more than 2. Now, what other solutions could you come up with? On this window issue, seems like it's either open or it's closed or a compromise. There are many, many other solutions. They do not yet understand the problem. And you won't know what the solutions are until you get into the underlying intent or the purpose of the person. This takes habit 5, where you seek first to understand. So one says, "What is it that you are after?" And the other responds, "I like to have the fresh air. That's why I want the window open. That's what my need is. If I don't get fresh air, I almost feel claustrophobic. It means so much to me." "What is it you want?" the other person says. "My problem is that this breeze from the outside blows my working papers about. I can't keep my things organized, and I need to have them in front of me on my desk in order to do my work efficiently." Now, what do they understand? They understand each other's need, each other's purpose, what they're trying to accomplish there, what's important to them. Now, once you understand the two things, then you say, "Now, what could we do?" Now, this is where habit 6, synergy, comes in. What could we do that could meet your need and my need? How could we get the fresh air without the draft? Now, think of the options and the alternatives that can come to your mind. "Why don't we open the window in this other room? That would give the fresh air." And the other person says, "Well, I almost have to see it open, or I get this claustrophobic feeling. What would you think of this if we were to organize your desk in this way and put it in this place in the room and my desk in this way? Then we'd have the fresh air and you could see it, but the draft wouldn't come over your desk. What would you think of something like that?" Now notice the spirit between these two people. It's a synergistic spirit. They're creating alternatives, solutions that can meet both persons' needs. You sense that spirit? It's the spirit of empathy. It's the spirit of win-win. It's a spirit of seeking to understand. It's not defensive. It's not protective. It's not argumentative. They're not accusing each other. You see, this is the spirit of habits 4, 5, and 6. 4 is the root, R-O-O-T. 5 is the root, R-O-U-T-E. And 6 is the fruit, synergy. It's also enormously bonding in the relationship because they created something together so that no matter what else comes around, they can deal with those difficulties, with those challenges. The key to habit 6, synergize, you could almost say is to value differences. It's not something you just tolerate that there are differences or that you just accept that there are differences. It's not something that is legislated through diversity programs to respect differences. But really, deeply, you actually celebrate differences. You realize that in the differences lies this very special creative dynamic, and that if we can demonstrate this mutual understanding, it will unleash this dynamic so that really strength lies in differences. As long as there is a common vision and principle-centered value system, then those differences become creative and productive. However, if there is not a common purpose, a common vision, a common set of principle-centered values, as well as a deep buy-in to that, then diversity, differences, will literally result in chaos and negative synergy, and it will spawn further prejudice and prejudgment. In other words, it becomes fundamentally counterproductive. That's why it requires the integrity of the first 3 habits, the development of a common purpose, a common sense of meaning, a common sense of mission, and sufficient integrity around those values that were identified, that the security goes within people so they can afford the risks of thinking win-win, of having the patience and the self-control to seek first to understand and to really be open to understanding. Then gradually you see this dynamic, magical thing happening of inventing a new spirit, inventing new approaches, third alternatives, and they are exponentially increased because of these differences. So strength literally lies in these differences. These aren't just nice words to value diversity, to value differences. These are moral imperatives for those that really want to solve problems in entirely new ways. In fact, to get new understanding of the nature of the problems themselves, go for synergy. The moment someone disagrees with you, train yourself to say to them, or within yourself, "Good, you see it differently. I want to understand. Help me understand. You come from an entirely different angle." You're intelligent. You care. I want to understand. You see the spirit of that? But if you're just into independence and into efficiency and self-control and control of others, you won't feel the same. Good, I'm glad there are differences. You'll end up wanting to tell them what to think, what to feel, what to do, and you'll end up turning people into things. But then that violates the relationship and you don't get synergy. At best, you get compromise. At worst, you'll get adversarialism and fighting and negative forms of synergy where 1 + 1 = less than 1, because so much of the energy of both parties is spent on fighting each other rather than dealing directly with the issues. So we're trying to move toward a positive form of synergy that creates new options through this deep understanding and interchange of differences. That's why I value my wife's input so much to my life, because she does see things differently, and I need her perspective, and I'm glad when she'll tell me it's different than the way I see it, because the wisdom that comes ultimately through the interaction is so much greater than what either of us had brought to the situation. But again, the key is to have a common vision and a common value system. Then all of the differences become a very powerful advantage, not a disadvantage. This kind of synergistic communication really is very, very taxing to people and requires considerable maturity. And if you have peripheral issues that are secondary, you may not feel like you have that level of energy and commitment to tap into that kind of energy that is needed. In fact, Sandra and I have found a very fast and easy way to deal with these secondary issues. We simply say to each other, "Where are you?" That means to us, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is this to you? If she'll say it's a 9 and I'll say it's a 3, then we do it her way. Or vice versa. We make no effort to go towards synergy, toward a third alternative, because we don't have that much time and that much energy to spend in that kind of communication. We both have agreed up front that we'd be totally honest on our appraisal of how important it is. From time to time, we've also done this with our children, so that if we get in a car and we're going somewhere and we don't have time to resolve it synergistically, we might just say, "How strong do you feel about it on a scale of 1 to 10? And when people always try to show respect for those who feel the strongest, and when your happiness is tied up into their happiness and fulfillment, that's truly win-win, even though you didn't get your way, because your higher interest is in their happiness. In other words, it's a kind of democracy that shows respect for the strength of feelings, the depth of feeling behind a person's opinions or desire. It's a very efficient way of solving problems rapidly without having to go towards synergistic communication on everything. This idea of synergy may be just words to you till you actually experience it. You could hear this and still tonight get embroiled with your spouse in some kind of a fight, or with your kids, or have some other negative interaction with someone at work, and then immediately seek first to be understood. The most dreaded thing to happen in a marriage or in the family or in an organization is to destroy the ability to communicate synergistically and to solve problems this way. You see, we always see the world not as it is, but as we are. So we must constantly seek to understand, and most of us tend to think we see the world as it is, that we're objective, and that we're looking through our lens of wisdom and experience, but in fact, we're looking through our lens of conditioning, of prior scripting. We referred to that as a paradigm before, a pair of glasses, a frame of reference out of which we operate, the implicit assumptions that we operate on, or the map. The key to objectivity is to realize we're subjective. It's to be aware. I do not see the world as it is. I see the world as I am. Therefore, if there is a difference, what about it? Someone else sees it differently based upon their experiences. I need their data. So this concept of valuing differences is not just a good idea. It's not just something that brings unity. It's something that creates, through cooperative communication processes, whole new options, new alternatives, new solutions, new insights, far better solutions. And this idea of humility and accepting our subjective involvement is not just some nice principle. It is a reality that people see things differently, and we all need access to that. It's through the interaction of the spirit of habit 4, think win-win, habit 5, the spirit of seeking first to understand, then to be understood, And as most people respectfully, empathically communicate with each other back and forth, something new happens. I honestly believe that you can take about any issue you want where there are profound differences and create a third alternative if people will practice habits 4, 5, and 6. Because in those habits lie the capability of solving literally any human problem.